Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Don't you love, like, every profession has different things going on at their job, and it just so happens that kindergarten teachers have to deal with masturbating five-year-olds at nap time? Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast where we ask, whose fault is it that you're gay? My name is Eric Williams, and this week we are here with the ladies of Dyking Out. I am so excited for this episode, but I'm also so grateful for all you girlies who messaged me about last week's episode with Bo and Yang. I know, like, we had a great chat, but I wasn't ready for everyone to message me, like, well wishes, because I said I had such a rough patch last year. And I know that this is a silly podcast, but damn, you made me feel really good and supported. And I just, you know, next time I'm just not going to go full on blackout. I'm going to actually, like, maybe talk through the devastation. But today is a good day. I mean, the LA Rams have won the Super Bowl. It's Valentine's Day week. Love is in the air. I do not care about sports, but I don't know. It was kind of cool to hear fireworks for a second that weren't gunshots.
What a treat.
I did post a video on TikTok about Californians need to stop rubbing in how good the weather is here to New Yorkers. It's like, this is February. New Yorkers are at their lowest. It's like if you approach a rabid animal, you do not get close. These New Yorkers have not seen sunlight in months. They are completely hobbled over, jumping over 10 feet wide slushy puddles to maybe get on the sidewalk or land on the corner and sprain their ankle. I love New York with all my being, and I just want to send you love, support, and just know you are not alone. I'm not there, but you're not alone. Another amazing gift from the universe is that the Oscars announcement. Are you all so fucking excited? Regina Hall, Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes hosting. I don't know if a gay person made that decision, but I'm not going to ask questions. And I'm just so excited to watch. I'm totally going to be having a watch party. It's going to be like gayer than RuPaul's Drag Race. I do hope secretly that Regina Hall does a Brenda reference. Can you imagine? Like the most high profile movie event of the year, and Regina Hall pulls out Brenda quotes from Scary Movie. They could do a movie theater reference. I'm watching Shakespeare in Love. Come on. Ugh, the opportunities are endless. But I will say that when we do get the reveal, whatever these ladies do, I will be here for. Oh, and also a nice little reference to the episode is Wanda Sykes. We discuss her during this episode with the ladies of Dyking Out, who are such dreams. I'm so excited they are here. Not long before we recorded this, they had interviewed Rosie O'Donnell on their podcast. And so, of course, I had to ask about that. But we talk about a lot of Bravo. We talk about a lot of campy things. Abby Lee Miller comes up. I mean, the gifts keep on giving. But if you are new to the podcast, thank you so much for being here. And check out the Patreon. I have a bonus episode up there now. That's Gay Ass Podcast for Patreon. Patreon.com/gayasspodcast. And I'm excited for the other incredible guests coming up after this. Stay gay. Thanks for being here. And these are the ladies from Dyking Out. I'm on the edge of my gosh darn seat waiting to see what's going to come out of these incredible people's mouths on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Welcome to Carolyn Bergier, Melody Kamali, who not only host the incredible podcast Dyking Out, but also have two incredible names themselves. Carolyn Bergier and Melody Kamali. I think the older I get, the more jealous I get of people with cool names, because mine is sadtown.net.
But if you did stand-up comedy, the host wouldn't mess it up every time they bring you to the stage.
Wait, what do they say for you?
Yeah. I get Caroline Bergier a lot. Caroline Bergier, just some.
I don't. Tell me why I always get Camille. I don't. It happens a lot.
Camille. Melody, like, Camille.
Melody Camille. I don't know why.
Camille.
There's no.
Yeah, it's spelled K-A-M-A-L-I. Camille. You know, comedians first and readers second.
It's a panic thing.
Yeah. There was a point when I changed my name to Carrie Berg so no one would mess it up, not realizing that that made me sound Jewish, and I'm not.
Oh.
So I had like a real problematic, like maybe 1 month that I was going by Carrie Berg, but everybody got it right. And it was, you know, my confidence was low. I thought it was just too much to ask people to learn my name.
Sure, sure, sure. And so you're like, you know, and what? Can you just learn an incorrect name?
A shortened
and
version.
Then also,
yeah.
Will you wrongly assume I'm Jewish on top of that?
Right, right.
You know what's funny though is like Carol Berg is a 65-year-old Jewish woman. However, to mm-hmm. see you as Carol Berg might be like Carrie Berg. That's Carrie Berg is more
a little bit younger.
Carrie Berg lives in Brooklyn. Carolyn Berg lives on the Upper West Side.
Yeah. Carol Berg. I had a coworker that used to call me Carol Berger just to make me sound like an old lady, and yeah. That's my old lady name. That's
speaking of names, I wanted to bring this up to you because I love your podcast, and I think like having you on this podcast is such like the universe brought us together in a beautiful way. When people who are not gay women say the name of your podcast, what happens? What happens to you? What happens to us? What happens to when I said it in the beginning, did both of your tummies go ouch, or did you say he kind of sold it, or did you say we're calling the police?
No, I was unfazed, but I think it's because you're gay.
Yeah.
But like when like cis straight het people say it, my butt cheeks clench up because I know their butt cheeks are clenched.
Right. They're very nervous. I would say most of them don't even say it except for my mom, who says it too much. my mom took a lot of liberties. Like she threw the first brick at Stonewall or something after.
Yeah. Wait, what's your mom's first name?
Dottie
threw the first
Dottie
threw the first brick. I mean, I believe it. Listen, it's interesting how people react to just gay things in general when they are not, and it's really a litmus test of how the conversation is going to go. Like, I think your mom is proving her allyship, which I find beautiful. Another friend of mine said that her mom kept laughing at the name of my podcast because she thought it was so funny, and my friend said, okay, it's only funny to a point. Now what are we what are we laughing at this point?
Right. And I guess when I named it Dyking Out, I didn't really think it through. I just thought, what a great name for a lesbian podcast or a queer podcast. And it wasn't until I saw how uncomfortable other people were with saying it and then like getting some comments around it. Mm. And then I started thinking like, well, I guess it is kind of the equivalent of if like a gay guy had a podcast that was like Faggy Times with Jeff, and I wouldn't feel great about saying that, you know?
Faggy Times with Jeff. I'm changing my name to Jeff.
It would be Jeffrey, I guess. Yeah.
You're right.
If
Jeff
it's a gay
would
man,
never,
it's Jeffrey.
It would be a full Jeffrey, but it's spelled J-E-F-F-R-I-E.
Right.
Faggy Times with Jeffrey, and it's talking about costumes of opera from Berlin.
Yes. Perfect. Trademark it.
Wow, Faggy Times on everywhere you get your podcasts. Well, listen, I have to say that I wanted you on this podcast months ago, and it just knowing that your podcast was so good, but then after the initial desire, you then landed Rosie O'Donnell on your podcast, and I'm sure, because I'm an example of this, I know people look at you differently because you landed Rosie O'Donnell on your podcast, and that not only did you land her, but the interview is so good, and I do want the behind the scenes of it because you came off on the interview such professionals, so cool, so calm, so toe-to-toe. Can you tell me how you A, landed her, and B, how it felt interviewing her?
Go for it, Carolyn. This is your life's work.
It is. You know, Rosie randomly started following me on Twitter, and it was a big day for me.
Oh my God,
I was just very confused, but I think it was just because my bio was very much like comedian and gay, and maybe, I don't know. So there was that. And then a friend of mine, Naomi Regay, had a show called The Female Gaze, and it was a live show at UCB. Gaze is in G-A-Z-E. Mm-hmm. And it was a parody on The View, and it's The View, but maybe like 13 hosts, and they all have their different personality, and it's kind of this chaotic fun show. And she was promoting that they were having special guest Rosie O'Donnell. And I messaged her and I said, is it really going to be Rosie or is it just going to be a guy in drag doing a mean Rosie impression or something? Right. And she's like, no, it's really Rosie. So I got there early, was sitting like front and center. I got to meet Rosie then. And I didn't have the podcast at that point. I hadn't started it yet. But that made me feel like it's possible. Like this can happen. So I got to like hug her and meet her after the show. One night I was drunk in the back of an Uber and I saw that she was active on Twitter. And I was like, what if I DM her right now while she's active? Will she get it? So I DM'd her and asked her to do it. And she's like, sure. Is it a podcast or a show? I'm in. And that was it. But then it was years after that. I think it took like 2 years to coordinate with her assistant because her assistant is very much a little bit hard to get a hold of. And then it just became this thing where Rosie kept saying multiple times that she would do the podcast. Like people would ask her on her Instagram Live, are you doing Dyking Out? She's like, oh, yeah, it's happening. I'm like, is it? Like when, you know? And then finally with the 200th episode, I messaged her assistant. I'm like, look, I know we've been trying to make this work, but for the big 200, we had Margaret Cho for 100. Let's do Rosie for 200. And then we made it happen.
And the assistant finally took mercy on you. Was like, okay, I'll talk to her about it.
Yeah.
Just because we're on your podcast and you had Margaret Cho for 100, Rosie for 2. Let's say when you get to 3, do you have another dream?
Ooh. I know Carolyn's answer, but it's in the works.
Yeah, that so one's already scheduled.
Before 3. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I mean, that's a good tease.
For both of us, one of them is Wanda Sykes.
Yes, we huge. Really want Wanda
that
Sykes.
That would be huge.
It's the dream.
Which my friend writes for her show now, but I'm like nervous about me.
Are we talking about the other two?
Ask. No.
Because Wanda on the other two is very, very good. I'm positive people listening to this love the other two as well. It is.
Yes. It's not the other two. It's the up something.
I believe you. Okay. Well, at least we know Wanda's booked and blessed. That's the best part of this.
Right.
The Upshaws.
The Upshaws with Wanda Sykes. Everyone, get into it. Yes. And honestly, once you get Wanda Sykes, then I'm going to be like, hey, my friends Melody and Carolyn, you did their podcast. We'd love to have you on mine. It's definitely going to happen. I do want to say that one of the things in the Rosie interview is she talked about having brunch with Abby Lee Miller, which was a twist. I didn't see that one coming. So I'm married to someone who is a very big Dance Moms fan. And I think that if I saw Abby Lee Miller in her chair wearing a shirt that said Abby Lee Miller, I too would probably snap a pic. But I fear that that's a don't meet your hero type of thing. Or don't meet your villain. I guess don't meet your villain. Like Melody, if you saw Abby Lee, what do you A, approach, B, talk, C, actually have a conversation, or is it a?
I would never approach. I mean, there's something about don't meet your reality heroes too, like that. It's just scary territory for me. We're in a position right now. There's like this lesbian reality show. We've been promoting it a lot. We've had some of them on. Carolyn is like, there's like a villain type on the show for sure.
Wait, what show is this?
And Tampa Bay's on Amazon Prime.
Plug.
And Carolyn wanted to do an Instagram live and sort of get like the villain's side of the story, this Murphy character. And that's where I tap out. Like, I love reality TV, but I don't want to be involved. I just want to watch it from a distance.
Enjoy them on your screen and keep them there. But Melody, let me be clear. You saw Erika Jayne in Chicago on Broadway, and you took a photo with Erika Jayne, and I might say that she is the villain this season.
That's such a good point. This was before she became
before
a villain.
Before the Orphans and Widows.
I had just enough wine. You know what's funny is I saw Chicago on Broadway twice. The first time unintentionally seeing a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star as
Lisa Rinna,
and that was Lisa Rinna.
You are
in 2008.
<kidding.
laughs> And then my girlfriend, she knows I'm a huge Housewives fan and got me the Erika Jayne, like just before lockdown. And I did get that picture, and that's so out of character. That's such a good point. Thank you for reminding me I did that.
But it is a really good photo. It's very ballsy of you. You stage doored Erika Jayne, but I think there probably aren't as many people as we would hope there are that have seen both Rinna and Erika Jayne in a Broadway show. And you stand in a very special group of people.
Yes, yes, yes.
I love the Housewives to Chicago pipeline. And
it's a factory.
Luann could never.
Wait, which came first?
You know who did?
Housewives to Chicago. I guess Chicago.
Chicago.
The chicken or the egg.
Nini was in Chicago too, right?
I think
wasn't
so.
Nini Leakes,
oh my God, was she? That's great. I mean, I very much believe you.
She was Mama.
When you're good
is
to Mama, yeah. Mama's good to you. Wow, Nini booked and blessed as well. So quick tangent, Melody, did you watch Ultimate Girls Trip?
I just finished the first episode just before we sat down to record. I had to. I found out it dropped today.
It did. I watched it last night.
I didn't watch all three that are out? Or just
no,
the first,
God,
though?
No. I couldn't handle it. I mean, I watched one, and I have feelings. I think that the show, for anyone listening who A, doesn't know about it, or B, hasn't watched it yet, it's basically different women from the different cities of The Real Housewives. They send them off for 8 days to Turks and Caicos, and it's Ramona Singer, it is Cynthia, it is Kenya, it is Kyle Richards, it is
Teresa,
it is Melissa, it is, I think that's most of them. It's basically like, again, a lot of villains, a lot of heroes, and mm-hmm. I think just to bring this all together, Ramona is the person you do not want to meet, and this show is proving that.
Talk about clenched butt cheeks. I am so anxious watching her interact with them at large, but especially the Atlanta Black Housewives.
By calling Kenya Portia. I mean, also, Ramona's so clenched herself because she's going to shit everywhere. Yeah. Apparently, she has got some really big digestive issues.
Does.
But poor, I mean, poor thing. I do think that was her last season. So we'll see what happens to her. But
yeah.
So I'm going to assume that Carolyn is, you know, you let Melody enjoy The Housewives and you say, not for me. It's a no for me, dog.
Oh, I got,
she got me into
her
it.
Into
she
it.
Won.
It took a year of lockdown, but I got her into Housewives.
Wait, what, Carolyn? Do you have a COC, a city of choice?
New York. That was where I started. I'm open to the others, but I needed a season and a city to start on, and I started season 7, New York, where Carol comes in, and I feel like that was
Carol
a good call.
That's how I pitched it. Yeah, I was like, Carol's so gay, you're gonna love this.
I do. I do love how gay Carol is. Carol is radiant. Queer energy, and every straight woman is like in love with her, and I think it's so funny.
This is new to me. This is news to me, and I like this perspective. What is it about her that you think is so queer?
You know, I wouldn't have really picked up on it if it wasn't every time they cut to a confessional, it's somebody being like, Carol's so hot. If I were into women, I'd go for Carol. And they all say that in some variation at some point. And like Bethany is like clearly in love with her. I don't know. She's not like
well,
the other
girls.
Well,
that was an epic breakup too. Like that was an emotional, just when we say gay, we mean just like, you know, the feelings of it all.
Yeah. I just remember the moment for me where Carol is like super queer, mm-hmm. and it's the Halloween where she shows up as Amelia Earhart.
Amelia Earhart, yes.
Everybody and is like a sexy costume. Like everybody is showing skin and stuff. But like the queer, like that was me at every party in college. People are like, why are you dressed
in a tuxedo?
Yeah.
Well, like, she dresses like a lesbian. Like I found her Poshmark. And yes. sent it to Carolyn, yes. and I was like, "This is a lesbian wardrobe."
It is.
Like she.
If you could, like actually dissect, do you think that she is on a queer spectrum?
I think she could be. I think she could be. I could see the right. I could see more of a mask presenting, just like a very striking, handsome mask lesbo, winning her over.
She hangs out, her best friend's dating Samantha Ronson, right? Like she's hanging out with lesbians. I think with a lot of the Housewives, especially the New York ones, like they just didn't have the vocabulary to even explore
like so,
the
Sonya's
queerness
bisexual
in conversation. Yeah. Sonya is a blatant
Very
bisexual.
Much so.
But they just are of a different generation and they never let themselves go there conversationally or otherwise.
It's just so surprising about New York City in general. It's like you always think, you know, it's New York, it's all gay
right.
people. It's just the most woke, liberal, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then you talk to these women who are on like the gayest show of Bravo, a gay network, and then
right.
they don't themselves realize that A, they might be bisexual in some way, and B, that it's okay. Like, I don't know if you remember in early seasons of any city, actually, they would be like, did you hear that maybe that person is...
Yeah.
And then maybe that person is gay. It's like, well, you do know that everyone watching you is gay. It's like, it's so... I don't understand
right.
the fear that was around it. And do we have any main housewives that are gay?
No. We have Ashley Darby on Potomac, who I think at this point is out enough as a bisexual. If you yeah. watched the reunion, the most recent, like part two, she references hooking up with a girl even.
Mm-hmm. Oh, only bi though, because there, I mean, Barbara officially a cast member?
Oh,
or just
oh.
Barbara
that
was
season,
out bi.
But she was bi.
Yeah.
She was out as bi.
That is a good point.
And,
but
and Ramona was like terrified of it.
Yeah.
Like Ramona literally hated her because she was bi.
Which yeah. is just another example as to why the tides are turning for Miss Ramona Singer.
We had Denise Richards, obviously. We had that debacle. But yeah, there's
oh.
no out. Yeah, there haven't been any lesbians. And Andy Cohen has said that he would introduce maybe like a gay man. Like that was the next step.
Wait,
he
said
in
he
an
would
interview
do
like years back. Yeah. Like he was like, they've
wow.
entertained it. They've talked about it. So
don't tell my husband. He will be auditioning for the villain role yesterday.
Yes.
And I say that and you'd think like, oh, is he going to be offended? No, he wants to it be known that he will
edit.
Be cast on a reality show. He wants the villain edit.
Yes.
He's watched enough to know a good barbed, you know, and like that's the thing about Kenya White. So she's so good on everything she's on is because just like. She knows the role and she knows how to so perfectly
so
throw
perfectly.
A dagger.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to find out if there was a gay man on a housewife show. And also, like, when we talk about representation and diversity, thank goodness they're adding people of color to different cities. And thank goodness that they're adding diversity. But it's also kind of a weird thing to realize in this moment, all the years I've been watching Housewives, that we don't have a full-time housewife that is full gay.
Right.
Which is... It would probably be another level of controversy for a season. Like, obviously, when Dallas put an Asian American person on the show, the franchise ended because they were probably
yeah.
so racist because they couldn't handle it just put them down a spiral. So I'm curious if there would be like a gay panic on a Housewives franchise.
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. But I would love to see the drama too. Like, we said girls' night only, and you can't bring your wife just because she's a girl, okay? Like, just, like something.
Melody, write
okay.
that. Write that.
Here's the pitch. Put Jenna Lyons on Roni.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That would be good television.
See, honestly, I think that it would do good for New York, especially because New York needs such a revamp,
oh,
a
definitely.
Reboot.
Yeah.
What is happening there?
Add it to the list of questions for Jenna Lyons. Would you be on Roni?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you
Mental
be
note.
On Roni?
We're interviewing her in a couple weeks.
So. Oh my God. See, that's, it's, I can't, first of all, I can't wait to hear that interview, but also I can't wait to hear about the Roni question.
Yes.
I do think that there are so many dream guests for, especially as there are more queer people like having visibility in Hollywood. I posted sort of a controversial thing on Instagram yesterday that I ended up deleting, which is maybe just because of my own headspace of just like, I'm
relatable.
But I posted about Billy Eichner yesterday because there's a picture that he posted with his trainer. He's like hugely jacked and looks like the type of person that would beat me up in high school, which is of course the person I would like to sleep with.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, himbo Billy Eichner. Basically that's all I put in the post. And I got a lot of reactions that were like, I hate it. I hate it. This is tough. And I was like, bro, like I just, I wasn't expecting.
What?
And but then someone actually messaged me a couple of really valid takes. I'm going to read you one of them because it's an interesting conversation to have. Basically, he says, like, yes, he looks hot, but I hate that he felt the pressure to get conventionally more mask/jacked as his star ascended, you know? And that was a take that I wasn't actually thinking about. And then someone else said, let ugly people be ugly, which I don't think he was ever ugly. No. But I do think that it's a comment on Hollywood is pressuring people to look a certain way, and that you were only conventionally attractive if you have huge muscles or if you're very thin. And I think that it's more layered than I realized. And I was just like, Billy Eichner looks hot. And so I ended up deleting it for, and now that I'm talking about it now, I'm sure it would have been totally fine to keep it up. But
yeah. I mean, he got famous for doing street harassment on video. Like, that was his shtick.
Yeah.
Was like literally screaming at mostly women on the streets in New York, just going about their day. So I think we can, you know, call him a himbo.
I think I think calling Billy Eichner a himbo is okay, but I think that pressure is a real thing, which is maybe what people started to feel. Because like in other news,
right.
I did just watch the Brittany Murphy documentary finally after a million people told me to.
Oh, I still have to watch that.
I really recommend it only because you are reminded of how incredible she is. And like one of my favorites of all time is Drop Dead Gorgeous. And it was one of her first movies, and she talk about like a star ascending. She really was reaching crazy heights. And then just I'm not giving anything away. It's basically just like she ended up getting with this guy that was pure, we'll call him evil. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the reasons that led her to really changing her body for Hollywood and really controlling what she ate. And it's just like, the question is, let's say you wake up tomorrow and you are a Hollywood star. You have millions and millions and millions of dollars and you want to continue to be working in crazy amazing projects. Do you think, even if it's like switching a hair color, even if it's like, I would get a lot of smoothies. I've talked about, I think smoothies are overpriced and I love them so much. If I was really rich, I would get a lot of smoothies and a personal trainer, and maybe I would gain a muscle or three. I'm okay with that. I don't think I would let the pressure of Hollywood make me turn into a himbo, but I think that my pecs would get bigger. Mm-hmm. Do you think you would change anything with money and fame?
Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
Yes.
I would cave to the pressure.
For sure.
I've already caved. I'm already imagining it.
Yeah.
I'm already.
Yeah.
And I'm so
excited.
I'm
in the cave. The cave is dark. I'm getting the Botox. Wait, so let's talk about it. What would we do?
What
would we do? Well, I think I think most people would probably, if they had the time and money, would want to get their body into a shape mm-hmm. that they feel good about. I think the barriers to that a lot of times are like time.
Yeah.
And money. And if you're able to pay people to clean your house or to do all the, you know, pick up your dry cleaning, if you have an assistant that's doing all those things, then yeah, you have more time to, like, I would love to have an hour every day to exercise. I think it'd be good for me both physically and mentally. And it wouldn't necessarily be because, like, it would make me more bookable. I think it's like a nice thing to do maybe for yourself is to... You know,
definitely
treat your body well.
It's a very good point, because the part of the thing is the money and time issue with like I just got a dishwasher for the first time in a long time. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to get ripped now because I don't have to wash forks as much as I used to. But like I can't wait to have that assistant, and then can't wait to have, I mean, if I get to go to an Equinox, I'll automatically get hotter just because I'm going to sweat out any toxins in the steam room using my Kiehl's products.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a personal trainer. That's all I want. That's
a
all
personal I've, trainer.
I've,
yeah.
I've had body issues. I was like extremely obese and like lost 100 pounds within a year at one point. And like, I have like I'm still like so insecure in my body. I feel like I would just like microdermabrasion, whatever, get rid of stretch mark. Like, I hate that it runs so rampant in my mind constantly, mm-hmm. but I it would just get it out of there and I could focus on other things creatively.
Of course. And that's the thing, is the dream is just to like be able to get rid of the things that plague us so you can actually focus on the things that you enjoy focusing on. But like, I think all the time about what would actually make me happy when it comes to X, Y, and Z, if it's physical looks, if it's career, if it's relationship, whatever it is. And I think the tough thing about it is that you A, won't know until you do it, and B, odds are a lot of things that you change will be quick fixes that don't actually feel good over time. And like, this is a very silly example, but I remember when I would have even some people on the podcast that were like really exciting gets, and like were, and I remember people saying, "You must, this is so huge. You must be so successful," or whatever it is now. And a lot of it's like, well, actually, I'm still waking up in my one bedroom in Queens, and I didn't. Nothing's really changed. But it's perception is everything, and yeah. So I think that
yes,
it is tough to know, like. If I get a $12 smoothie every couple days, will that make me happy in the long run? Actually, I take it back. That probably would. Bad example. But like, if I were to do something else that was a quick fix, like, I think that's partly the issue with fame is that you get so used to the things that you thought would make you happy. And then once you're only doing that, then you're realizing, well, what's beyond that? It's actually not attainable.
Right.
I mean, look at Madonna.
Yeah.
Like, how many surgeries has she... Yeah.
I'm sorry.
If it doesn't hurt your eyes at this point. Yeah, no, but as like a, you know, I used to be a huge Madonna fan, but she thinks that, I'm projecting a lot, but she thinks that like the path to, you know, happiness or whatever is her like looking young and portraying this, but really she just wants to be relevant, but she's made herself like so different than mm-hmm. what she used to be. That's what got people hooked on her in the first place, that like she's almost made herself the thing that she doesn't want to be. And right. she wants to, you know, resonate with younger audiences, but they're all looking at her like, what? Whereas like, I think if she just let herself age gracefully, people would be into her in a way that like we're into Betty White. Not saying she's as old as Betty White, but like the same way that people are like in really into Rosie now. I think like Rosie has kind of had this renaissance, and people, you know, Rosie's getting DM'd by millennials on TikTok and stuff, because when you're like living your truth and just like doing your thing, that's hot. Yeah.
Right. And I think that's very clear when you're operating out of a sense of insecurity to change something versus a sense of authenticity. And I mm-hmm. think there are so many people like that, that, you know, it always comes back to Bravo, but like Andy Cohen got someone like tried to like comment about like how he needs to do Botox in his forehead. And he's like, no, I'm just gonna get old, and that's how it's gonna be. And Sarah Jessica Parker too has had a lot of things come out about the Sex and the City reboot, about people giving her shit for how the way that she has aged. And I think that that's just the aging issue is such a broader issue, especially with the filters of it all. But like, I think that's actually as cringy as Carrie Bradshaw can be. I do like that there is this sense of, you know what, we are going to have these three women, while we wish there were four, we're going to have these three women that are actually of the age that they are. And they are living in New York City and telling these stories.
Mm-hmm. The beauty of the Sex and the City characters, I hadn't even thought about that as I'm gearing up and watching all of the paparazzi footage.
Which is almost been a little too much, because I just want to hopefully we get to like see a new costume. Hopefully,
I know, like, I feel like I remember that one. Seen, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, well, and it's actually a good segue, because Sex and City is probably one of the biggest reasons I became gay, is because I would watch, you know, Samantha suck someone off, and I'd be like, I want to be just like her when I grow up. But like, I want to go into the famous gayest podcast question, which is, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame? I feel like you both are going to want to be polite and offer the other person to go first. So I'm going to choose. I'm going to have Melody. Whose fault is it that you're gay?
Oh my God. It's Now and Then. It's the movie Now and Then's fault. It's everyone involved.
Which you talked about with Rosie.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. I already, as if we were like not talking about the episode enough.
No, please.
I'm obsessed with Now and Then. I always have been. There was always something about Roberta, the character that Rosie played, the adult version. It's about a group mm-hmm. of friends, if you don't know, in what, the late 70s, I believe, mm-hmm. in a small town in Indiana. Christina Ricci, Gabby Hoffman, Thora Birch. I'm blanking on the actress who played Chrissy's name, but following their adventures over one summer, it plays with time and cuts to them as kids, and the adult version of Roberta, Christina Ricci's character, is Rosie O'Donnell. So I'm bi. So this actually answers who made me bi too, because I was in love with Christina Ricci, Roberta, but I was also in love with Devon Sawa. who yes. plays her love interest. And a lot of lesbians are, actually, right? Like, that's a yeah. root crush for
a lot of
dykes. I had a
poster of Devin Sawa on my
yeah.
wall.
Oh, wow.
He was so pretty, yeah.
So it was just as... such a confusing time. Like, I wore that VHS out and then the DVD, which I still have and play often. But I was just bouncing between the two of them in this relationship, just so confused as a kid. Like, I was in love with Devin Sawa. I was in love with, I kept saying it is Christina Ricci. Yeah, sorry. With Christina yeah. Ricci. And
I think I was in love with Christina Ricci. I think, like, yeah. there's something about, I mean, and, like, in an Addams Family and in everything that she's done. But you know what? I think
yeah.
gay kids growing up are clearly so plagued by so many things. But I feel like bi people growing up must be even more confused, because you're like, I am attracted to Christina and Devin. What does that? It's like you really don't know what's what.
I mean, Casper, then I move on to Casper and I'm like, we're entering puberty. Like, we're further, like, and I'm just getting more and more confused. The Casper, movie Little yeah. Giants, I know it, Christina Ricci wasn't in it, but the girl who played Ice, was he in Little Giants actually? Or am I thinking of another young blonde boy?
I don't know Little Giants, I don't think.
I'm gonna, like, I'm so sorry. I need to know.
We love a dramaturgical deep dive.
Yeah, it was Devin Sawa.
Yeah.
I was, every little, like, romantic arc he had in the movies he would play, like, I had such a crush on him, but also the girl. So I guess maybe I should just change my answer to Devin Sawa made me like girls.
Devin Sawa made you like girls, and the rest is her story.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
I think that era of filmmaking... What other movies would you put in the same canon of Now and Then? Because there are so many. I feel like, is it right if I say, like, Mystic Pizza? Or if I say, like, what's that movie where the kid, the bees, and the kid dies and the bees?
Oh, My Girl. Yeah.
My Girl. I feel like there yeah. are so many, like, coming-of-age movies of this era that defined so much of, like, even Casper the Friendly Fucking Ghost. Like, I had a Casper... like, toy, and I remember feeling so comforted by Casper. There are, I feel like First Wives Club does a similar thing that Now and Then does with the younger versions of all the women at the beginning,
yeah.
and then we see them grow up, and there's something about, like, the strength of friendship and about bond and sisterhood. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is
that
later, but I saw that in theaters, and I really was affected by, like, a group of friends that can all wear the same pants, and they're all so, and gosh, America Ferrera is just, like, such
yes.
a strong person who has her issues, but she perseveres through them. And I'm America Ferrera, and it's and I think that those movies were our friends and also our teachers. And
yes.
I think it's a very good answer, which means we got to move on to Carolyn's answer.
This is such a hard one. So there are some that I always say when people ask what my root is. I mean, if I go way back. Honestly, I think it was Maria from Sesame Street. just like I couldn't get enough. I just like wanted her to be around all the time. Like, but I don't know if that crossed the line. It was Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Oh, yeah.
I would say gave me feelings that were like too big for me to comprehend at the time. But then I'm like, I think, though, a lot of it does go to Madonna, especially in Dick Tracy as Breathless Mahoney. But also the actress who plays Tess Trueheart, just like the two of them. I love them both for different reasons. It was like Madonna's character was like so like sexual and like sultry. And then Tess Trueheart was like girlfriend material, like just so sweet. And I don't know. I think Madonna was that person that I was so fixated on. Like, she was so sexual, and she was the one that I remember I wanted to, like, I would fantasize about being a guy so I could get with Madonna.
Whoa.
It was like, I never thought like I could be a woman with Madonna, but it like when I did eventually get older, like I was a fan of Madonna since I was like 5. But then like once I started going through puberty, like my fantasies would be like, if I were like a hot man, it could get with Madonna.
So were you in your dreams having sex with Madonna as a man?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's really awesome. And I think that Madonna probably in your dream had a really good experience with you as a man.
She loved it.
You know, I pay attention to details. I'm very nurturing.
I mean, listen, I remember I had Emma Willman on this podcast months and months and months ago, and she told the funniest story about when she was a kid and she would be like in a forest and she would be pretending the trees had breasts and she would be like groping the trees. And like, the way we like communicate our sexual desires as young people, it's like, it's so it's confusing in general to live in a world where you're having these like queer fantasies. But then I've said this before, but I do not know why I always had a daddy thing. And I know like daddies are in vogue right now, like, dare I say I invented daddies at seven, but like my dad owned a pharmacy, and these like middle-aged men would come in their business suits and their suit and ties. And as like a very young child, I would dream, and not just like fantasize, I would have full-on dreams at night that I would climb up their bodies and make out with them like ferociously. And I was a young human on this earth, and I don't know where that came from. And I remember thinking, like, in my mind, I was like, these people aren't even that attractive, but God, I just want to like feel a man's stubble on my velvety skin cheek. I mean, I don't know what, and I probably don't actually want to know what that comes from, but like, I just had that fierce desire. And I saw all this to say, like, you stripping Madonna in your dreams as a man. Absolutely, yes.
That makes sense. Because, you know, I talk about this on our podcast a lot, and I did not give the answer of Jamie Lee Curtis because I need to retire this story. Like, I have gone on too many gay podcasts, and yeah, that was my route. That striptease scene Jamie Lee Curtis does in True Lies. That was like the first time I masturbated as a kid after seeing that. I was really aroused by Jamie Lee Curtis.
Wait, how old were you?
Like fourth grade. Like, ooh, wow, going into fifth grade that summer. Fell asleep masturbating. My mom came and found me that way. It was humiliating. But I wanted to be Arnold Schwarzenegger in that scene. And I remember sitting like him after I saw it. If you're familiar with that scene, he's just kind of like sitting back and like lounging and watching her give her striptease.
Oh, yeah. I can see that totally.
So that tracks. And I never thought of that part of it until today.
Do you think that because girls famously are just more mature and better than men, period, but also because girls tend to hit puberty earlier, do you find that most girls become more sexually curious and explorative phalangically at a younger age than boys do?
My mom...
Like, if I say boys are around, like, the 12 years old, would you be like, oh, that's old?
For me, I started so early, but then I know Carolyn didn't until, what, later? High school?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Catholic church a lot, so I feel like I've repressed a lot. But when I talk to my friends, I remember, like, friends being like, oh, yeah, you know, when we were younger, we all, like, humped that table that was, like, at the right height.
A lot of girls have that, like, stuffed animal, like stuffed animal pillow.
I never had that,
My mom's a kindergarten teacher, and she told me that the kids, it's a lot of, like, girls typically, like, she would catch them, like, touching themselves at nap time. Is that wrong to say on the podcast?
No, I think it's just an honest experience of a teacher.
Them or their names, but she just came home one day and was like, the kids have been touching themselves again at nap time and we don't know how to address it. Like, but typically female.
Don't you love like every profession has different things going on at their job, and it just so happens that kindergarten teachers have to deal with masturbating 5-year-olds at nap time?
Yeah.
It's just gotta have a tough day at work. Babe, what happened? Well, you know, nap time got juicy again and I don't know what to do. Now I do regret that part of it. I regret saying that, and I do think that might be edited out. But it's also like humans are humans. We are animals.
Yeah.
There's no shame in it unless, again, you go to Catholic church a lot as a kid.
And then there is shame. And then there is plenty of shame. But I was thinking about, I was talking the other day with friends about like, isn't it crazy that as like stigmatized and as crazy it is in this world, that even still of like being gay or queer, whatever it is, that like in back in the Roman bathhouses. Is that what it was? Like, there was like,
yeah,
fully sexist happening between men. You would like be,
yeah,
it's like it's happened for so many years, and yet it's so silly that it can still be so controversial. But listen, as we continue on with these podcast segs, I want meant segments but also sex, I want to get into a very controversial question that is divisive. We talked about this a little before we started recording, but I want to ask, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would it be? Melody went first before, so Carolyn Bergier, c'est toi. Qui est? Who is it?
You know, I want to say Rosie O'Donnell.
It all comes back to Rosie and Bravo TV.
Full circle.
I mean, she's just so good in every part she plays. She nails it. It's always a treat. The only thing is, if we're talking like the world is actually ending, like how many years does she have left in her? I hate to think that way. So I'm like, should I have gone with somebody younger? But
I think that's really noble. You're trying to save mankind while also saving Rosie O'Donnell and preserving right. her oeuvre. You know what's funny is that no one has
a lot to consider.
No one has said Rosie O'Donnell yet, and I think that it is very important that someone did, and I want to thank
okay,
you for that.
Good.
I want to thank you for that on this podcast. I do.
Yeah, she's not on the go-to list of character actresses.
No, and she is one.
Be.
And also, I love that we're talking about her resurgence, because I know on your episode, she was talking about she shot something that's going to be, she's shooting it in January and it's coming out in the summer.
That new Showtime show?
American Gigolo. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so American Gigolo, like I just can't wait to be like on my phone being like, Rosie O'Donnell's killing this show. Like that is going to feel
yes.
like I'm home, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, get her more Emmys, please.
Long overdue.
Yeah. And I think there was a book I read about the behind the scenes of The View. I don't know if you read this, but it was like a very crazy tell-all about what happened behind the scenes. And Rosie had some crazy stories. And I know that, you know, there's so many chapters of her career and her life. And I just think that she has more chapters to come.
Yes, I love it for her.
I do. I'm excited for that. What about you, Melody? Who would you save?
I'm going to go with Parker Posey.
Yep.
I feel like she's people have had to have said her here.
You know what? I think maybe one person, but like it's not as prevalent as you would think. But I think it immediately takes us into the Christopher Guest world.
Yes. You know, there's that depth there. I also need like a little darkness mm-hmm. in my character actresses, which she seems to have brooding under the surface. She's yeah. so funny. Yeah.
So funny. And also, I hope she has more chapters to come. She is a little underutilized, I find, in the world. And I know that she she was great on Search Party, I think, what, a couple seasons ago. I'm also pretending as if I know everything she's doing right now. For all I know, she's like filming an Oscar-winning role. But do you know if she's
like,
doing anything?
She's just had, Search Party. There was like High Fidelity, that show. Like mm-hmm. just little like cameos, Portlandia things here and there.
Right.
I'm trying to think of like the most recent movie. But obviously the go-tos, I'm thinking like Josie and the Pussycats, all the Christopher mm-hmm. Guest movies, like Party mm-hmm. Girl. Right. Like, we need more current
We
projects.
Need more. And I think like if I may be so bold as to say that what is happening to Catherine O'Hara, which she deserves and she needs and she should continue doing, I want that for Parker Posey as well, in addition to.
Yes.
I was deciding between those two, and I had to go with Parker because Catherine's getting projects right now and is
Catherine's eating. Catherine's doing
talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
People are talking. Well, listen, I want to say that this has been such an amazing conversation. There is always a question I ask before we leave that I did not prep you for, just because I want to really put you on the spot. But the question is, if you had to choose the singular best Whoopi Goldberg film, what would it be? Feel free, either one of you, to shout out first.
Film? I'm obsessed with Sister Act 2.
Thank you.
Is that, I'm like, I don't know why I'm so, why would I care? I was like, is that hack?
it's become me baiting people to say Sister Act 2. But Carolyn, what, please say it.
That's where my mind went, was Sister Act 2. But then I was like, I know I'm missing one that I like better. Mm. But I feel like I have to go to IMDb, which feels like cheating.
It doesn't. It's not cheating. Live your truth. I trust your journey. I will say that there are so many things happening in the zeitgeist right now about bringing things back. And I think that this is actually an important conversation, because Sister Act is coming back.
What?
With, it's coming back, and Whoopi's involved. Hocus Pocus. Did you see the Disney Plus announcement?
Yeah.
They did the photo of the new Hocus Pocus, which, and speaking of, and I'm saying this with deep respect and love, but speaking of aging, I think, like, beautifully,
they look
Sanderson
great.
Sisters look great, and they, you are not saying, like, ooh, what have they done to this themselves? You're thinking they are kicking, living, learning, listening, thriving.
It looks correct. Like, it just looks right.
Correct.
When I saw that promo picture for Hocus Pocus.
No, it's definitely
Sister Act.
Yeah, yeah.
IMDb confirmed it.
For a second, I was like, boys on the side. But the reason I love Boys on the Side has really just to do with the one scene where Drew Barrymore throws herself down the stairs over and over.
Sure.
It's like the only thing I remember about it, to be honest.
Well, with that, my friends, we're going to end this episode of That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Carolyn, Melody, can you tell me, where can people find you?
Well, the podcast is at Dyking Out on Twitter, Instagram, and I was going to mention the TikTok. We got to stop doing that. So sorry.
Yeah,
I know.
It's really embarrassing
too old.
For us.
Why? What's wrong with the TikTok? Yeah.
It's like we don't know how to do it. And it's there.
We don't do it. It's just,
it's there for,
like, at some point, yeah, we need to all have a conversation, because as I am a disaster on Twitter, I found out that TikTok is my place in many ways, because the stakes are so much lower, and I've actually had a fun journey on it, and at some point we're gonna have a conversation about it, because you'll kill.
Okay,
you'll,
I think,
kill.
We're just, okay, overthinking it.
Yeah, you are.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm at Melody Kamali on all social platforms.
And I'm at TGI Carolyn.
TGI Carolyn. Well, everyone, listen to Dyking Out. Follow Melody. Follow Carolyn. It's such a good podcast. You are both such great people, comedians, hosts. And I'm thanking you so much for coming on, because honestly, this was months in the making, and it's been a dream.com, truly.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for having us. You're such a good host.
It's been so fun.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes. We love it.
How dare, from the Dyking Out Gals and Lounge.
Friend of the Pod Productions.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.